right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's Mark Sussman. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that hopefully will inspire you to do new things, to be more optimistic, and to start to see possibilities and opportunities and all that's going on. Sometimes we have hard times and we kind of give up and we need a little inspiration, and that's kind of what this show is all about, is to inspire you. And every week I invite various individuals who have a conversation with me, people that I'm curious about, things I want to learn. And I've always heard about French women. I don't know about you. I actually play tennis with a French woman. And they do have a certain mystique. So when I got this email from one of the publicists that I work with, I said, okay, I am curious of deepening the conversation. So I've invited Jamie Cat Callan to be our guest. She's written a book called The Parisian Charm School, and that actually is just part of the title. So welcome, Jamie, and welcome to also finish the title after The Parisian Charm School.
French Secrets for Cultivating Love, Joy, and That Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi.
All right.
And it's a pleasure to be here with you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I am very curious about this whole idea of the French women and the Parisian Charm School that you've started, I believe, right? Or is that another book? This is your first book, The Parisian Charm School? French Secrets?
Actually, the title is your book? The title is just Parisian Charm School, and the subtitle is French Secrets for Cultivating Love,
okay,
Joy, and That Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi. But I've written three earlier books on French women. The first one was called French Women Don't Sleep Alone. That was about love and romance. The second one was Bonjour,
right,
Happiness, about joie de vivre. And the third one was Ooh La La. So this is actually my fourth one. I'm very excited because I'm with Penguin Random House, and it has a beautiful cover. It has illustrations. This book is incredibly charming.
Beautiful. It is charming. You know what? I guess I kind of featured this show about French women don't sleep alone. Now, where did you come up with that? That is intriguing as a title. And what I think I said to you off air is that I got to be honest, I was expecting somebody with a French accent. And so when I listen to you, I go, where's the French accent?
Yes, I am not French. I am American, but my grandmother was French, and I grew up under her tutelage. I spent my summers with her, and she certainly had a French accent, and I learned so much from her. And as a little girl, I remember, you know, taking naps, and when I would wake up in her living room, on her living room couch, I'd wake up to see, the first thing I saw was a painting of the Moulin Rouge. And I just felt that there was something so powerful in this Frenchness of my grandmother and the way she lived her life. She was incredibly elegant and mysterious. And I remember when I was a little girl, she would come to our house in Stamford, Connecticut. I grew up in Connecticut. And when she would arrive, you know, she'd step out of the car, and she was always wearing a beautiful outfit, a scarf, heels, stockings, and be her pearls. And the kids in the neighborhood would all gather around her as if the Queen of England had arrived. She was just so elegant and not particularly outgoing, and she didn't, bring a big box of cookies with her or anything like that, but just through her simple charm and mystery, she was incredibly captivating. And Mark, you're right, that accent, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. What, and it does in itself have a certain mystique and attractiveness. And, I mean, even if you look at somebody and you look at their features, regardless of their features, it's that whole way of being is what I've noticed. But what I'm curious about is the title of your other book, French Women Don't Sleep Alone. Where did that come from? Is that, like, based on research? Is that fiction? Or tell us about that.
Oh yes, that's a lot of research. I wanted to write a book about the difference between American romantic relationships and French romantic relationships. So my friend Jessica Lee and I went to Paris, but we also went to all the little villages and the smaller cities. We interviewed hundreds and hundreds of French women to ask them about their romantic life and dating and marriage and flirting. And we learned so much. And, you know, American women are all about dating. And when we asked about how the dating system works in France, the French women looked at us and said, what is this dating? We don't understand what you mean. And we would say, well, you know, a man and a woman, they meet, maybe they meet online, they meet at a restaurant, they sit across from each other, and they ask each other, well, where did you grow up, and where did you go to college, and what kind of work do you do, and by the way, what's in your 401k? I'm just kidding. But the French bypass all of that.
So I think what you just said about comparing the habits of French women toward dating with American women toward dating?
Yes.
With terms of romance and marriage and everything like that. I think that's like a great topic to talk about. And let's go ahead and explore
the deal. Well, Mark, they don't date. They do not date.
Right.
They don't meet. They just don't do that. They meet at dinner parties. They meet at get-togethers, and they meet, in community parties. So, and you know, in France, there's some sort of party every Friday night, and then there's the family get-together always on Sundays. And they're intergenerational, and it's really a wonderful system because there's no pressure. There's no pressure on the man or the woman. You know, you think if you have a 2 or 3 hour date, you have to sort of decide, like, is this going to go somewhere or not? Whereas in France, you see someone over the course of many months and maybe years before it turns into a romantic liaison.
Right. So that was, I guess, a better word in terms of not necessarily the attitudes toward dating in terms of maybe their attitudes toward relationships. So let's kind of look into that more in terms of, so what you're saying is that they're slower to hook up with each other in France than over here, or what are your thoughts about
that? Yes, and it's interesting because it's kind of twofold. There is that, you know, sort of spontaneous hookup. I'm not saying that never happens in France, but it doesn't happen as a part of what will become a serious relationship. They really, if this is something that they're truly interested in this person and they're truly interested in getting to know this person, yes, they take their time, and they just don't reveal their cards right away. It just they're able to live in that gray area for a long, long time, and so when things evolve into something more romantic, there's been a sense of a foundation has been built. They know each other, and their friends and family know each other. So it's a sense of community. It becomes much richer than just like, oh, this is just about, you know, a quick liaison. It's something much more richer and deeper.
So what I'm kind of hearing, what I'm kind of getting from what you're saying is that, again, this is obviously a generalization, but it sounds like in the American people you've studied, it's more into getting involved with the expectation that this might go somewhere, where in the French situation, it's just enjoy the moment. Is that a...
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's absolutely it. The French are very, very much about finding happiness in the moment, joie de vivre. And there's actually a French expression which is happiness is something you share. So it's you know, we have the we're entitled to the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I always worry about this because it sounds like happiness is this thing. It's out of reach, you know, it's down the street, and you're going to pursue it. You're going to put on your cross trainers, and you're going to beat out all the competition, and you're going to run and grab that happiness for yourself. The French don't have this expression. The closest that I could find is recherche de bonheur, which basically means to look for a good time or a good hour, and it's the French philosophy of happiness is that happiness is right in front of you. You don't have to chase after it. It's about recognizing it. So it might be there.
And it's about choice.
You know, at the dinner. Exactly.
It's about
and opening up your eyes to these small little happiness moments, these little miracles that are in your life every day, and to appreciate what you have now rather than chasing after some future thing.
You know, I want to come back to, you know, the statement of comparing the attitudes toward dating and relationships between the different cultures. And, you know, I'm just wondering if people have challenged you on that statement about the difference between the French women and American women. I mean, it's a, kind of a bold statement in terms of you know, American women are a certain way. I mean, what have you had to address that before? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I am speaking in generalities, so that must be understood that this is a generality, and certainly there are American women who have dinner parties and who take their time and go for walks and really get to know a man before things become intimate. And at the same time, there are French women who are nothing like I've described. I have to say, when I do book events in France, especially for French women, don't sleep alone. I always get at least one French woman standing up and saying, "I just want you to know I am French and I sleep alone." And then they might say, "But actually, I sleep with my cat or I sleep with my little puppy."
Right.
So you have to understand that title is a little tongue-in-cheek. It's a little it's meant to be provocative, but at the same time,
it is provocative.
There's a
very provocative.
Yes.
Got me to want to book you for the show, you know. Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It wasn't Parisian Charm School? The new book,
that was
Parisian
too, but
Charm
it was both.
School? That's why I'm
here. Yeah, but the other, it was all of it, you know, again, with the, but it's people's attitudes toward, you know, I've recently published The Soul of Uncertainty, but I used to write poetry. And I've written a lot of poetry, actually. And I wrote a poem about relationships and love and relationships. And the very first line is, you know, love, why try to figure it out anymore? It hits you from all directions and breaks every rule you ever made up.
Yes.
And it does.
Well, you're very French. Clearly you're very French, Mark.
Maybe it's from playing tennis with this French woman.
Yes, no, she's definitely had a good, she's had a good influence on you.
I actually have been to France, you know, years ago in my youth. So what else can you, you know, the generalizations in terms of this is, so what was the purpose of you, so a lot of your, so there are a lot of book events in France now with your books and.
Oh yeah, well I'm all over the, at the moment I'm doing a lot of book events in the United States. On Friday I'm at Chatham Books in Chatham, New York. Next Thursday, January 11th, I'm at Rizzoli's in New York City. So I'm excited about that. And then in February, I'm at Trident Books in Boston. So I'm all over. And then I'll be at the American Library in Paris in September. And, yeah, and there's lots of other. People can find out more information about Parisian Charm School and my book events at JamieCatCallen.com.
And some of your articles and about your books have been featured in some of the major publications like Vanity Fair and in the New York Times and Time, and it's a lot of exposure. A lot of people know about your work. And what the other thing I kind of want to talk about is you do talk about the Parisian Charm School, and you make a statement about cultivating charm in all aspects of our lives so that we can embrace more love, passion, and joy in our relationships with others and with ourselves. How do you describe what charm is? I mean, I think we all have a sense of that, but what is your sense of charm?
Well, I think
how do we cultivate
one
it?
Thing that
if, you know, how sounds
yes.
like a good thing from the way you describe it, but how can we like, you know, how can we cultivate that if we really, you know, want to create more of that in our lives?
Well, if you want to cultivate charm, first of all, I should say it doesn't cost a thing to be charming. And it's not about spending a lot of money, but it's about being in the moment and sending thank you notes to people, just being nice, saying please and thank you. And the art of, I have a whole chapter in Parisian Charm School on the art of conversation. So the next time you're on a line at the supermarket, rather than thinking, oh, this is highly annoying, I'm in this long line, think about, can I get into a conversation with the person in front of me or the person behind me or the person at the cash register? Because this is very French, you know. This is how the French actually flirt. They get into conversations with everyone, and they engage in a sense of banter. And I think that's one thing I would like to correct with American listeners, because whenever I say the word flirt or flirtation, Americans tend to get really nervous because they think that flirting involves some kind of a tease or a sexual promise. And that's not the French interpretation of flirting. Flirting is just about having clever conversation and being interested in people, being interested in the world. You know, I took French lessons for many years with Madame M, who is, I talk about her a lot in the introduction to Parisian Charm School. And she's like 90 years old, and I would come to her house once a week, every Wednesday. And first of all, when she answered the door, sometimes she would actually hide behind the door, and I would knock on. She had this pretty, like, dragonfly door knocker, and I would knock on it, and the door would slowly open. I was, Madame, Madame, are you? And then she would jump out and say, boo. Now, it was so silly, but I always laughed. No matter how many times she did this, I laughed. So you see, that's the form of flirtation. And then by her door, she walks along.
So what I'm getting, Jamie, is that you're kind of using it in terms of perhaps playfulness.
Yes, yes. And that involves, to be playful, you need to really look at the person in front of you and think about them and be present to the moment. Flirtation actually involves a kind of zen. It's a zen practice of being present to the moment.
Yeah. So, okay,
you know,
so is that what we're doing? We're flirting right now?
Yes, we
are, Mark.
Trying
to talk about interesting things to say.
This sort of conversation is flirtatious because it's showing an interest in another person and then revealing a little bit about yourself and maybe being mysterious about certain things. And so it's the flirtation of if you think of it like a hand fan, which is another thing I write about in Parisian Charm School. You know, French women still, because they don't have a lot of air conditioning as much as we do, so they all of them have at least one pretty hand fan. And to me, it's a very symbolic thing because the fan, you know, you can hide your face with it. You can reveal your face with it. You can flutter it and create an interesting movement, almost a dance. And it's just a little paper fan, but that is very powerful. And you know what? It's the same thing with the scarves. You know, all French women wear scarves. And that it's not just to keep warm, but a scarf is a powerful, I think it's a powerful tool of flirtation because you put the scarf on, it's pretty, it's colorful, but also you can take that scarf off. And it has its own magic to it.
I like scarves. Yeah, they're
Me
true.
Too.
I mean, they're colorful, and they do create a certain mystique. You know, there's something else that I was thinking about is, you know, what I got was that you were talking about being more in the moment in terms of an openness, kind of being more in the moment of an openness when you were describing French women. Yet, I was thinking it's you also talk about a mystique. And I'm just wondering if, you know, mystique is kind of mysterious, which in some ways is kind of the opposite of being open. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I think that it's actually very French and very important for a woman to maintain a certain amount of mystery. And that's the secret to a lot of their charm is they don't reveal everything all at once. And they pay attention to these little details. They may pay attention to the sound of their voice. They pay attention to what they're wearing. They pay attention to their underthings and their lingerie. And, you know, it may be that nobody actually sees what they're wearing underneath their clothes, but because they know they're wearing something pretty and lacy, it changes the way they walk and move in the world. So mystery is really, really important, and I think that, you know, we live in a culture where we want to be really open and honest, and we've got Dr.
Right.
Phil, and, like, let's talk about all of our problems, like, right away. Like, we meet a person, and, you know, 10 minutes later, we know their entire life story.
Exactly.
And French women do not do this. They hold back. It's just part of their mystique, as you've said.
Well, it is true what you're saying about how, you know, and I mean, in our culture, and especially with social media, and I don't know how it is in other, you know, areas, other countries, but there is like this, what people reveal about themselves is almost a long time ago, if you revealed stuff about yourself you're almost like an outcast. Now, if you don't reveal stuff about yourself, you are an outcast. I mean, it's just full circle, gone from, you know, just being kind of secretive to where people just share stuff that they're going, do I really want to know this? I mean, it's amazing what people share about themselves, and it seems that's kind of the trend, and this openness, this almost in a way vulnerability. I think when people share all they do, they're definitely more vulnerable.
I don't think it's necessarily helpful to the person who's revealing everything. I think there's this moment in social media where everybody responds and there's a million likes or a million sad faces.
Right.
Oh, you poor thing, I can't believe you're going through that. But ultimately, it doesn't really make that person feel better. I think it's like a quick fix, but it's not, they're not going to really find solace in these little smiley or sad faces. You know, the one thing that I haven't said that I really, really want to make a point of with Parisian Charm School and the idea of charm, any woman can bring this kind of charm, any man can bring this kind of charm into their life. It doesn't cost anything, and it's about small, simple changes, such as walking more and being, you know, being grounded in the earth, reading more books. My first chapter is just about reading and developing your intellect. It's about getting into conversation and talking to people. It's about paying attention to your voice and your language. And also, I recommend everyone take dance lessons, because dancing is very important, not only for your own body and mind and spirit, but also it enhances your love life tremendously.
Dancing is a good thing. It's a good thing. Definitely.
I think so. My husband and I just signed up for tango dancing lessons, so I'm
all
very
right.
excited about it.
I was thinking about doing that too around here. They have on Wednesday night. You were talking about Wednesday night. They have actually in the same town I live in. It's about, you know, 10-minute walk. Mm-hmm. They have tango lessons, and because I've done other types of dancing. So you know, we're running out of time, and you know, I always like to, regardless of what we talk about in these conversations, I like to always ask my guests in terms of what are you most hopeful about in your life right now?
Oh, I am a femme de certain âge, which translates as a woman of a certain age. And I won't reveal my exact age because that would be very mysterious. But I'm
right, we
so,
want to keep it French.
Right, I have to keep it French, but I have to tell you, I love, love, love being the age that I am. I have a renewed sense of confidence. I'm so excited that I have this new book, Parisian Charm School, and it, you know, it was just released yesterday. But
wow.
Here's the thing I'm the most, most excited about. I am a grandmother, and I'm about to be a grandmother
All right.
again in the spring. So I love stepping into the role of mentor. It really is so, so delicious and wonderful.
Interesting that you phrase it in that way, in terms of becoming a, you know, a wisdom teacher, sharing your wisdom.
Yes.
And
I think
a
for
lot of
all
us
of us.
Are, yeah, I was just saying
you
that
sound
it's
like
important
a wisdom
for all of us
teacher.
To do that. I am.
Yes, I totally agree. I know you
yeah.
are.
I know. Well, it's great. It's great, Jamie. I think I've gained so much from doing this show, and every week I have, you know, people like yourself that are full of wisdom and knowledge, and have insight to share, and things they've thought about several times. And so I want to thank you for being the guest here on the Inspire Possibility Show. And now I understand French women better, and Maybe it'll help my tennis game. I don't know.
I think so.
I just think it's great that you're putting yourself out there and sharing something that you're very passionate about. And so thanks again for being our guest. And to all of you out there, you know, every week we have other amazing people, and just keep listening. And in the meantime, journey on. And I'm sure, Jamie, they can get your books, but at most bookstores?
Yes, absolutely. They can find it at any of their local independent bookstores. They can find it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target, Rizzoli's, the Penguin Random House website, everywhere. It's everywhere. And, Mark, I just want to say what a pleasure it's been talking to you. I so enjoyed it.
Well, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.